Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, now we have to, first of all, help you tune your settings to what has been spoken about this year, the crowning, the unveiling. You know? Amen? Because before you are crowned, what are you crowned as? You know, generally, the world is divided into two kinds of people. Generally speaking, both in the kingdom of light and in darkness. There are those who want to earn a living, you see? Their work is to see what kind of living they can earn, and if it's good, they want to improve it and so on. So they have a good life. And that really is their mindset. And they're there to and live. They're in the kingdom of darkness as well as in the kingdom of light. But then, if you are targeted at earning a living, what are you going to be crowned as? As a living earner or what? You see, eh? Now, and unfortunately, if I cut through all of your brains right now, most of you, your mindset is earning a living. I want to have this, I want to have this, and earn a living and do this. And, you know, life is good. And then I can live a certain quality of life. But then, on the conversely, there are people whose mindset is to gain territory, to have a sphere of influence, and to dominate. Now, those are the people who get crowned because there is something they want, you see, aside from earning a living. Now, when you start the true journey of walking with God, the first thing he takes you away from is earning a living. But it's incredible that when you get into the point of actually feeling that there is a territory you are supposed to possess, and by territory, you know what I mean. I don't mean like 10 acres and so on. I mean some place where you're supposed to be in dominion. Then the earning of a living becomes automatic and becomes much better. But it's not the thing you're thinking about whatsoever. It is somewhere in the periphery that, you know, I can do this and this and this with my... But my purpose is to gain territory, to expand something, and to actually have dominion in a certain area. Now, that's where the crowning comes. Praise the Lord. Now, how many people really have a sphere of influence which they know this is supposed to be my sphere of influence? You know, Jabez in the Bible prayed a prayer and said, expand my territory. You see, eh? And the scripture says that God heard him, heard his prayer and answered it. Because it's all about territory. Now, even in the kingdom of darkness, they have their people whose work is to earn a living. Yeah, a scientist, yeah, a scientist. But they never really know your doctor, scientist, what, you know, all those things. You never really know what the big picture is. You are outside of the big picture. You are just given something to run with, and you run with it, and you have absolutely no idea what you're running with. I met one such guy, top medic. Even he's on some whatever World Health Organization, whatever, for Africa and so on. He was being consulted here during COVID. And he's even actually born again. When I talk to him, I realize he doesn't know anything about anything. They just give him what to do. He runs with that. He believes it. So he has taken all the, how many whatever, how many boosters, how many what. And like, he's there. And he's apparently big because, you know what, he's all over the place, what, earning a living. And some people, but you know, you look at him and you see he's at the bottom of the ladder, absolute bottom of the ladder. But you see, the kingdom of darkness, so many of those people know that everything is about territory. When you gain territory, the people in that place pay tribute to you who are under your territory. They pay tribute, they pay taxes, whatever it is they pay. And they pay homage. And they come to you. And you are the one who determines what you... Because you have dominion over them. And now when people get in that stage, they don't fight small battles. Because they are in a place of dominion. Now, those people you see in the kingdom of darkness, who are... This is a prayer of Jabez. Jabez called on the Lord saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Okay? Now, so many people would say, bless me, and stop there. because it's nice to be blessed. Then the Lord blesses you and he blessed you. Then now you stay in a bigger house which you bought. And now you are, life is good. But in terms of territory, you have nothing. They can come and do anything they want to do to you. You have no territory apart from a good house. You understand? Now, when you understand that there is nobody who is called in this end time to earn a living, and if you want such person whose mindset is, I want to earn a living, you're totally offside. Totally offside. You will gain so many things getting territory, and you will find that your life is much better. And your living is much better, but you're not even considering it. You see those guys in the kingdom of darkness? They understand territory, a majority of them. It's those, they are those who they keep at the level of just do as you're told. But many of them understand territory. And actually, their kingdom is all about territory. All about territory. There is nothing they do just for the sake. You see? So when somebody comes and tries to infringe on their territory, they will come out and fight very hard. Very, very hard. They don't care about you doing certain things and, you know, praying and so on, and you driving a nice car and what. No, they are not interested in that. They are not going to attack you for that. They attack you when they realize you're coming for their territory. And they are bafirao. Because they know what it means. When you take that territory, they will serve you. You see, eh? And that's just the way it is. Like, you take the territory in which they are, they will serve you. Now, I saw it even, by the way, in the book of Judges, before I say that. But now the children of God want peace. You see, eh? They want what? Peace. If they can avoid confrontation, that's good. Oh man, how fooled we have been. There's not going to be peace without dominion. Praise the Lord. The best way of having peace is by being in control. So you had peace in 2020. Until there was a presidential address and suddenly you couldn't even leave home. And you have no say whatsoever, no say. They will tell you, yeah, we've extended. Another 1 week, another 3 weeks. And there is nothing you can do about it. And that was a test for us, by the way. Because those people demonstrated that they have dominion and they can determine what your life is going to be like. And now, because the church has never really understood dominion, they have never understood that every place you put your foot is yours. They have never understood that God wants you to enlarge your territory all the time, continually enlarging it. So you go into a place as an employee, and you enter that place. And God expects you to start pushing dominion. And dominion is a mindset. It is not something that you say, you know, pushing dominion. You understand? When you enter that place and you have the right mindset, you do as Daniel did and as all these other people do. These wicked people. They are very, very powerful. But because they set out to do that, but in actual sense, they have no power whatsoever. But the people who are supposed to have power have chosen to earn a living. So you find that there's a certain guy who messed up the big company where he was, and he was supposed to go to prison. And then the person who was his predecessor has just been forgiven and pardoned by the president and come out of prison after close to 6 years. And this guy is supposed to go. But because he's a homosexual, the whole what? No. And somehow he survives. Because they gang together. Those wicked people. Among other people. They gang together. And so many other, you know. And they know. They understand dominion. There's a guy who told me that he had a business. He was one of us. He had a business. So he brought a friend of his to come and work with him. Under him, actually. Within a matter of like a year or two, the friend was a Muslim. The whole place was full of Muslims. Until this guy woke up and they had converted one big office into a prayer, whatever. And then you feel surrounded.
And then you see they have a comradeship. And you seem to be out of the picture. Yet you are the boss. It's your company. Now, that is the kind of wisdom we should have. You look at what Daniel did in chapter 2, verse 47. The king answered Daniel and said, this is after he had interpreted his dream. And now he was the man of the moment. You see? Yariwo, the king who had nobody could do it, God has revealed it to him. Yeah. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now, this is very simple wisdom. Very simple wisdom. Daniel was the man of the moment. He could tell the king to do anything. The king had even fallen prostrate before him. The first thing he tells him that, yeah, I have my friends also. Make this one prime minister. Make this one what? Make this one what? And somehow he positions them. Now, that is the understanding of the... You try and get a believer, I'm telling you. Getting a position somewhere. You set out an interview, and you think you're very moral because you're going to give the interview to whoever won. Yet there's somebody like you who wants the job. And you say, sorry, Thomas, you came second. And then you're stupid. You understand? Daniel did not. He says, I want this one and this one and this one. And the king is, at that point, the king cannot accept anything. And so he set them there. Now, that's how people, and you look at the way the people of the world do their thing. They really understand the principle of dominion. Eh? You have no idea. So clearly. That they will always make sure that they surround themselves with people who are like them. You give him a position, just give him a short time, you will see. Somehow it is only people like him who win interviews. And Christians will think there's something immoral about that because they are stupid. Praise the Lord. If you come fifth and you are a remnant, I'll give you the position. Number 1 to 4. Can go and find people who are like them. If it's in my power. But that's what the Bible says, you understand? It says that be good to everyone, especially those of the household of faith. It says that in Galatians, where? Maybe 5 or 6, chapter 5 or 6. It says be good to everybody. Now we are good to everybody. But then it says especially those who are of the household of faith. Give me that scripture. That means you have to favor. Therefore, as we have opportunity, you see, you are in a place, you are the interviewer, the one who determines who is getting the job. You have opportunity to do something for the kingdom of God. Let us do good to all, first of all to all, but especially those who are of the household of faith. Now that is God's recommendation. You don't treat people equally. No. This is the scripture. And you think it's somehow a good thing. For us, we're a merit organization. We hire on merit. You're stupid. Now, I'm telling you the truth. And unless people understand the meaning, because then you go and pray God that you have, God, give me favor. Give me favor. What does favor mean? When you are favored, somebody is disfavored. You understand? So that means God is putting you ahead of somebody else. And that person might even have better credentials than you do. That's what favor means. Now, if you want favor, you have to practice favor. You have to know that if I want favor from God, that there are all these people who want this job, and I'm telling God, ignore them and give it to me. I also have to do the same. Why does he ignore? Didn't he create all those people? But you are his child. So he gives you favor. So that means that something which was not supposed to be yours becomes yours. And God is the what? I remember a guy who said that. He went for an interview. And these are things God does, by the way. He went for an interview. He was the best. Then when they were supposed to call him, the day before they were supposed to call and say who won, they stole his phone. And of course he had no job, so he couldn't replace it very fast. So they called, his phone was off. They gave it to a second person who was born again. Now, Yeah, that's not fair. You go and create your own throne in heaven and practice fairness. He says there, as you have opportunity, do what is good, especially to those who are what? Of the household of faith. Then you also will get favor. Praise the Lord. But the key thing here is like actually dominion. Where you go to a place and you say, I am going to carve out my territory here. Like this. Nobody is going to be. Now, when you have a place where you want to have dominion, you're ready for crowning. Otherwise, what are we going to crown you as? I crown you as the best salary earner. There's no crown for that. Praise the Lord. And that yet most people, most believers, it's about earning a living. I thank God at some stage in my life, I woke up and said, but really, what is? Then, I was even just starting the ministry. Then I took on the burden of making sure that this whole country, people know that Jesus is coming back very soon. So that was my territory I wanted. And of course, I tried to cultivate it according to how much my resources were as the Lord increased me and increased me. But at least I had a throne which I wanted. So if at that point God came and told me that, what do you want? What throne do you want? I would tell him what I want. But how many of you would say it off-cuff without even thinking? Praise the Lord. Because you see, as a crown as what? Because the crown has to come with whatever. I crown you king of what? Okay, filming, he says. But you see, there has to be a territory. Someone says, you're crowned the king of Buganda. But in the absence of the kingdom, what are you crowned as? So now, you see, until we actively start understanding that you are not in a place just to be there and fill space or just to be there and earn a living. Okay? Convert that job and everything into what am I being crowned as? What am I going to be the best as? Which territory am I going to take control over? And I say, here, I am going to be the king. Praise the Lord. So now when the crowns are given, they come and say, I crown you the king of worship. And then you worship and people, everybody says, man, this is what? This is God. Or I crown you as, you know, the king of a business or something, or a specific thing. But now the world thinks strictly about how much money are you making? What do you do for a living? How much money are you making? And man, that is totally not kingdom mindset. Totally not kingdom mindset. You will be left behind with that kind of thinking. That's not how kingdom people think. We are made to be kings. You know what? Revelation 1:6. Jesus made us kings and priests in his own. Now, king of what? Glory to God. Now, dominion is... There are certain facets of dominion which you know, which you can think of. Let's read it. 1 Kings chapter 4. It's talking about Solomon's dominion. Let's see what it says. So King Solomon was king over all of Israel. Now, you see, it's defining his dominion and starts by telling you territory. Okay. And Solomon had 12 governors over Israel who provided food for the king and his household. Each one made provision for 1 month of the year. Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and rejoicing. Now, he was king over Israel and Judah. Then it even actually at some sense says his kingdom came from here to here. Then it's showing you whatever. So Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines as far as the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. Now, I'll tell you this. When you are, let's say, in a business somewhere, and you go and set it in your mind that you are the king over that business, you set it like with your mind and your meditation, you will see people coming to you rather than you going to them. You see, eh? Now, you might wonder why, for instance, we are considered inferior to certain aspects. Let's say to those Bazungu and so on, blah, blah, blah. And those people knew when they set our education system that as long as we are quoting their thinkers and taking it as truth, we shall always be subservient. That's why somebody will come up and give some very useless quote. Not profound, there's nothing in it. Then he says, Thomas Jefferson said that. Abraham Lincoln said that. Cabaleta could as well have said that. It's not even so important. I have said greater things than that. You understand? Eh? Haven't you seen those quotes? And somebody says, Thomas Jefferson. Eh? And now, then people, that when you look into it, there is actually nothing special he said. He just said words. You understand? Eh? Now, as long as you're quoting them, they have dominion over you. Because, like, they are supposed to be quoting you. Now, Solomon, it mentions there, all the kings of the earth came to him. They brought gifts. That's dominion. They came to hear his wisdom. In other words, they were quoting him. He was teaching them things about zoology, he giving animals names, giving plants names. So, in other words, he knew botany, zoology, and what? And all the kings were coming to learn from him. Now, that is dominion. Dominion is not just actually, you know, rule. You can rule over people and they are quoting somebody else. Praise the Lord. Mm. So a time will come when my territory has expanded and yours, eh? And people say, eh? The sun rises from the what? From the east. Joseph Kablet. Look at the things they tell. Very, very useless stuff. And then they quote some thinkers. Hmm? And then you're taught that in school. And you will never think that you're as much of a thinker as those people because you're quoting them. Hmm? You will never think that because they have dominion over you. And they are exercising dominion over you, over your intellect, over what you aspire to be like. So somehow, your children are taken through school. And all the aspirations is to look up to some Muslim. And then you wonder why they come here and take all our gold and what? And our presidents are powerless to resist them. They set it all in the education system. Praise the Lord. Now there's a reason why Daniel, when he was taken into the kingdom of Babylon, he refused to learn their ways. Because once you learn their ways, you're always going to be subservient to them. Always. You see in Daniel chapter 1, where it says they wanted to teach them. He said, okay, I'll learn the language, but I'm not going to imbibe your literature. I'm not going to bring all your things and take them inside myself. Otherwise, I will become like you, and I'm not supposed to become like you. And that is the beginning of the... And it says here about Solomon, the men of all the nations from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon all over the place, from all over the earth. Now God has elevated you. Now let me tell you something. If God actually elevates you, as he is right now, can you resist bazungu who come and they want to tell you what to do? Very few people can, I'm telling you. Very, very, very few people can. I have seen it happen where somebody has a unique gift and people want his gift. But they will say, okay, come here, come to America and we'll give you this amount of money. And the person goes and he has lost it. He's supposed to be on top, he has put himself under. And now that God cannot change. You understand? If you decide to put yourself under, yet actually he had given you something to elevate you up there. He told Jeremiah, somewhere I think chapter 15, he told them, let them come to you. Don't go to them. That is the principle of dominion. Where I go to somebody's place does not show dominion. But if the person comes and finds me where I am, that shows what? Dominion. And I meet so many people who say that, I want to meet you. Then I ask where? Those who are a bit respectful will choose a neutral venue. You understand? Eh? But I might even refuse that. And I say, come and find me in Munyonyo. Now that's a statement. If you don't understand it, they will toss you around. Somebody calls you and says, yeah, we meet. And say, where? Let me see. I have an 8 a.m. I have a 10 a.m. Come to my office at 1. Tablet. Do you know how many people, the people I can go there, are like I can count them on my finger. Because I don't need them. I don't need them. And you have to actually understand that. Because if somebody can summon you to, I remember in 1962 when Obote was playing his politics and he wanted to do an alliance with Buganda, the kingdom. And yet there was DP, which actually was led by Ben Chiwanuka, which was more pro-Buganda. So what Obote said, he went and said that Ben Chiwanuka told me that he summoned the Kabaka to his office. Then Buganda said, what? Then she went to somebody the Kabaka. That was the end of Buganda and DP. And they went to UPC. And that's how Obote became prime minister. Because people know. Like you don't. And God tells Jeremiah, therefore that says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back. You shall stand before me. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. This is talking to the prophet. You shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. Now he's establishing something. If you actually can be summoned, and you see there are people put themselves in that place. You remember that king who said he wanted to go and attack Ramoth in Gilead? And then he sat, Jehoshaphat, and Ab, and then they called the prophets to come and prophesy before them. Now that is the man, a majority of all the men of God here. Because I was talking to some guy in Kenya, and there was a prophet who I, you know, some prophet. And the guy, he's in Nairobi. Then he jumps on whichever day. Raila Odinga has summoned me. You've lost, you're nothing. You've made yourself nothing. Even God leaves you and says, hey, okay, you go and be with him. Now, there are certain things which can come out as pride, but you have to know who you are. You understand? Eh? If you actually are exercising dominion, you have to say, okay, if this one summons me, I will go. If the other one summons me, I will go. Yeah, but that's it. After that, if you want to see me, come to my place. You remember that guy whom I told you was pulled a lot of witchcraft on me and so on, and who met me one day and was walking the other side like this, eh? After I had failed. Now, that guy, he said he wanted to talk to me. That was even before he pulled that witchcraft. He said he wanted to talk to me. Now, he used to call everybody to his school. And you'd find big people there lining up waiting to see him. And he's inside, doing nothing. But he just wants to show them who is the boss. So he sent somebody and said he wants to see me. I said, let him come and find me here at New Vision. And the guy came. And I was busy. He came. They told me he's waiting for you at the... There was a meeting room. I said, okay, let him wait a bit. Eh? Then I continued. Like, I've always had Rugezi-Gezi, by the way. That's the truth. So I went there. Maybe that's why even God chose me. Because imagine someone like that, like just calls you and you go running. Then you reach, then you sit outside the school, everybody is waiting for him and you're also there. I said, you're not going to beat it on me like that. And you do it on purpose. But because you do it on purpose, I also did it on purpose. I wasn't very busy, but I stayed on my computer. Then I told some guy and said, Negwe, Omsajo Mulindi is out. I said, okay. So I went in the meeting group. And I was just like a journalist. But man, like I had a lot of what? Swag. Anyway. Now, this scripture, by the way, man, I love it. Let them come to you. Because actually dominion is told by who comes to you, not who you go to. Amen? Of course, sometimes you, because you know you're not the biggest person in the world, people will summon you and you go. Don't be like what? Proud. Eh? But you know who you are. And you know that you enter a place and you can decide that I'm going to take control of this. This is my territory. And within a short time, people are inquiring of you, even your bosses. And it is all in the head. It is all in your meditation. You decide this is what I'm going to do. And it's all in the meditation. I remember when I was going to a judge to get something. I know those judges can be like, eh, man, they have like a kingdom. Eh? Like, you know, they have a lot of power. Person can say you go and you spend a month in Luzira when she's going playing golf. So they have that power and what, eh? Which they carry. So I was there and I wanted the judge to do something. But I went in spiritual power. Because I focused for morning that I'm not going there just as. And that was long ago, way before I was. I'm not talking about now. I said, I'm not just going there as, you know, somebody who needs our help. No. I dressed myself in the, in a certain thing, consciously, just by consciously doing it. Then you arrive there and say, I want to see justice so and so. Then they say, what's your problem? I said, this is it. I want to see her. Then they say, wait a bit. Then they told me, wait a bit. She's in court. She's in a court session. So I sat there outside and started praying in tongues
and say, I'm adjourning this court session. She has to sign this paper of mine. And I go. It took 15 minutes and the court session was adjourned. And she signed my paper. Now, you can decide to be ordinary. Or you can decide to be somebody who is crowned. Amen? There are things which you know, if I've been crowned this, and this was what I was supposed to be, and I'm crowned it, I am going to behave as such. And then I would just do things out of kajanja just to see, are people feeding me? Yes. Small things. So you come, and you're entering a bank, and you say, then you put on something, just in your consciousness. Then you arrive there, and people are like, these guys will check, you know, they will touch you. And the guys look at you like this. Then you pass, I'm telling you, and you just need out of kajanja. And other times, of course, you go and they check you, there's nothing wrong with it. But just to show that I can actually do something and make myself something different. Everybody does that. In the scriptures, people did that. Jesus did it a lot. Okay? He comes down to the level of tax collectors and what, and he's perfectly human. Until people say that now they want to stone him or they want to take him to the cliff and throw him over. Then he just puts on a glory and all of them look at him like this. And he walks past them. And yet he's going to go at the other side and take it off. Because he's not going to minister to people when he's in that glory. You understand? He just wears it when there is a need to do it. And then he walks and goes. Then he goes the other side. He finds tax collectors and now he's human. Perfectly. Praise the Lord. Now, if you actually are going to exercise dominion, you have to know the things that make for it. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 4. Men from all nations of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. There are different facets of it. Where even King Hiram, so you see, here he's teaching people trees. Speaking of trees, hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish. Basically, he's an expert in every science by the Spirit of God. There are things which show how people brought silver and gold to him. Now, he had enough silver and gold, more than enough, more than all of those people who are bringing to him. But for some reason, because of dominion, they feel that they have to bring to him. So that everything, he even made shields out of gold. Now that is kajogo. You understand? Because the purpose of a shield is just to stop a spear. But you make it of gold. Because you can make it of brass. And to do its work just as well, isn't it? But he says, I want shields of gold. Then he had his country home. You go and read that thing. And you see, and then it said that every year, people would bring 666 talents of gold to him, of pure gold to him. Now, when you find yourself giving somebody something which he doesn't need, and you need it more than him, that is dominion. Praise the Lord. But if you understand it, if you actually bow to that dominion, you get your own dominion. Because you don't give people things because they need them. But you find yourself giving somebody money, and yet you need it more than what? Than him. Praise the Lord. Now, if you can define yourself in terms of territory, in terms of people who are under you, in terms of the authority you wield, even in a job or in a business or in any such thing, or all such terms, territorial, and you be territorial, you will see how easy it is to crown you. Because at least you have a territory which is yours. So there is a crown for that territory. But now the thinking of the world is we have to make money. Let me give you an example. Do you think somebody like, look at those guys in the kingdom of darkness. People like George Soros. People like Larry Fink. The guy of BlackRock. People like Bill Gates. They are fighting for territory. They are not fighting for money. Now, if you try to think they are fighting for money, you are so mistaken. They are fighting for territory. They are fighting to have dominion over you. And now our God wants you to have dominion over them. You understand? But
If you are stuck in earning a living, they will eat you like sumbusa. I'm telling you, because God actually wants to hand you that level of greatness. But when you have territory, there is purpose. Now those people have a purpose of the devil, which they are pursuing with all their might. Amen? Now, the reason we actually sit down and pity them, is because they are serving, they might glorify themselves like how? Amen? But the person they serve, I step on his neck. You understand? So I don't deal with them. I deal with their master. That one God gave me control over him. You understand? But if they give you an illusion, can you imagine now this Bill Gates has done what? Now you're looking at this useless person. Go for his master. That's where you have authority. Amen? And now those people, you might think some of them are human. They are not human. They are not human. Those people are not human. And some of them even say, there was even a thing of Mark Zuckerberg saying, when I was still human. But they are the seed of the serpent. Okay? And now people don't understand from Revelation 12, where it says that the devil has come down because he has a short time. Demons come down actually, and you see people, and they are the seed of the serpent. Absolute seed of the serpent, but they look like human beings. But they are the seed of the serpent. They cannot get born again. They cannot. And in Genesis it says, you trample upon the seed of the serpent. Or even in Psalms 91, the cobra and the serpent, you trample underfoot. And they are there. They are not human at all. They were born through intercourse between demons and women. They are here with us right now. They walk, some of them are on TV, some of them are what, but they are actually the seed of the serpent. But they are fully human. Just like Jesus was the seed of God, but fully human. Functioning as a total human being, but he's the seed of the Spirit of God. You understand? Yeah. Now also them, there is the seed of the devil himself. And they started those years, the years when we were born. Mpola, mpola. But now you find somebody, they are totally not human. And you think you're dealing with a human being, but you're not. And if you try to deal with them as if you're dealing with a human being, they will hammer you until you get to the what is behind the spiritual thing. Okay? He says, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. You see, that scripture shows you who is on top. For him, he bruises your heel, but for you, on his what? His head. But then, the thing is, if you think that there are people who are fallen for whatever, and it's somebody comes into your life, and they are the seed of the serpent, and you think, some of you will say, yeah, you know, okay, I know he has some issues, but when we get married, he will change. And you're getting married to the serpent. And when it happens to people, and you see the person is not human, you can't change them. They are bad men, but human, eh? You understand, eh? But they are bad. Maybe they have been hurt and what, so they, you know, do all these things. But there are those who are not bad men. They might even be good, but seed of the serpent. And now, people don't understand that even these ladies who are, like you, a lady, you have a big ministry and what, the devil is going to try to send for you seed. And you will be messed up. Even men. A friend of mine told me he was in Mombasa preaching recently. And you know Mombasa. Huh? So in the evening, they had a conference there. A man of God. In the evening, he saw a very beautiful lady showed up in his room with spiritual beauty. Eh? You know beauty which is spiritual. Not natural. Then she came and told him that my work is to keep men of God company because they are far away from their wives. Now, of course, he bound what? He told her to take off and she took off. But now you can easily be, like there are even women who are like that. There was some guy told me there were 5 pastors who were casting demons out of a lady. Very beautiful, but her work was to mess up men of God. But she had a certain beauty which was, you know, not usual. It's not natural. So now they went to start what? Casting the demon out of her.
So they started, five men of God. So they started, come out, come out, come out, come out. Then a chick is looking at them like this. Then at some stage, all of them got hard-ons. And then, so they start looking at each other, and you know, you can get ashamed. Then they look, every one of them is like this. Then they say, nah, man, this, this seed of the serpent. Seed of the serpent. And now, the interesting thing is, she wasn't seed of the serpent, but she had been dedicated those things from childhood and so on. But she was the seed of a woman. But eventually, they cast out the demons. But as soon as the demon went, she became ugly. Like she became, and they looked and said, what has happened to the beauty? Actually, immediately after that incident of the what? Of the add-ons, that's when the demon left. I think it was announcing its exit. True story, by the way. True story, I'm not joking. Now, how do you handle that? Maybe I shouldn't have said that for PG purposes. But that's the truth. But now some of them, you are dealing with somebody who is not human. And they position themselves in places of ministry, what they come, and so on. And they are in churches, they are in ministries where people have no discernment. And I remember a time when I saw one in a church where I used to go. I saw when she was, I told you that story. I was at my home praying. And I was walking, you know, there was a driveway. So I was walking up and down praying. Then suddenly my eyes opened in the spirit very briefly, and I saw her there standing looking at me. And this is an usher in church. So then I knew. But then I realized that all the people who would come with babies should be the first one to, hey, what? And the child starts getting sickly. And she messed up so many people like that. There are some even who are here who I prayed for. And like, she's there just to, you know, like, you know, you have like a new baby and you know what? And you think this is just normal. Someone says, hey, mambi, chi baby, what? Kumbe, she's passing on something, what? Fake. Then, when I would come to preach, she would come running and says, Msumba, can kwati the Bible here and what? Then I would look at her and say, no, it's okay. I'll hold my Bible. Then one day I left the church and I went back to preach after I'd long left. So when I finished preaching, this lady, I finished preaching and I said, okay, now let's take an offering. She was standing like behind those ways. She came running and jumped on the cabo and then started going. What? Then I said, no wonder these people are broke, man. And the brokenness that was in that church, man, the brokenness that was in that church, and I used to see her there, like, and, but you could see there's something wrong with her. Then there was another one also in the same church who was so fake, but yet actually she had a very good outward appearance. By the way, people can get mistaken with outward appearances. This lady had a very good outward, oh man, what even? People even used to like her, some fairly older lady. They used to call her over auntie something. But my spirit rejected her from day one. I would look at her and I just feel I don't like her. And there was no reason why. There was a time actually I was in Bible study, then I finished. Then she came and put money there as if like an offering. So I looked at it and left it. I even pushed my Bible aside. And continued teaching. When I finished teaching, I just held my Bible and left the money there and went. There was something I didn't. There was something until I learned, man, seed of the serpent. Okay, not seed of the serpent, but very, very, very deep in witchcraft. And you can tell those people, by the way, from the things they do. People are in the middle of worship. You know, there is a time when worship has reached a certain place. Then she would be behind me. Then she claps like this. And suddenly, the whole atmosphere has gone. The whole atmosphere has gone. Then one day, I looked at her. I turned around and looked at her. Then she looked at me, and she stopped clapping. And they used to even be in our meetings. We had to chase them away. Amen?
I remember even at Zoe, there were two or three people. As soon as the prophet says, "Thus says the Spirit," did somebody say, "Yeah!" You don't hear anything. And you don't hear a single thing he has said. And she will scream throughout it. And she knows what she's doing. Because let me tell you, when a word like that is coming out, you have to pay attention. Like, if you knew how important it is to have all your mind on it, you understand? Eh? So that you receive it, all your mind. The scripture says, "My son, incline your ear towards my saying," eh? Towards my words and my sayings. You have to be attentive. But then there will be somebody who will try to make you what? Eh, to distract. And now distractions will always come. Then that's when you find yourself turning the other side and somebody is doing something weird. Then you turn this side, somebody is dressed in a weird way. Then you turn this side. Like, you know, if people knew that when Jesus said that when a word is given, the enemy comes to snatch it away. It's not a figure of speech. He actually comes to snatch it away because people are made by words. Words of God. Amen? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. Psalms 107, verse what? 20. Sent his word. That's what he sends. That's what he gives. You have to receive it. You have to attentively embrace it and then chew card on it, as I told you sometime, and then it will start giving birth in your life. Now, if at the moment of being delivered, somebody decides that's when they want to scream, if I'm near such a person, I would slap them. Okay, I wouldn't, but I know people who would. And also me, if I wasn't the watchman, I've seen things in churches, and you wonder why people do not develop. But they are stationed, people stationed there. And they make sure that the people are not going, anything that is of value, that is of serious value, they will try to make sure that somebody. I remember there was a time in churches when somebody comes to preach the word. Then somebody it comes and rolls in front and lifts their legs like this and what? Then they even get a lace and come and what? And cover them. Then the pastor says, "Omoyo uya tambura." That is the devil. That word was going to lift those people. Didn't you see those things in your churches? Yeah. That word was going to lift people. But the devil will make sure it's distracted. Then that's the end. He will not even preach. Then another, boy. Where did they get it from? Demons would try to do that and Jesus would say, "Shut up and go." You remember that? Yeah, he's the son of God. Shut up and leave. Because they tried that even with Jesus. To make sure that people don't listen to the word he's giving. Now for them, you would not allow them to steal the show. Now people tried, you know, and it became so much part of a church. And like you'd see stupidity, then that's the end. The man will not preach after that. Then other people come. And that's the end. And what was going to benefit was he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. And when people don't understand, now, I told you how a lady tried that on Benny Hinn Crusade. I was seated there in the second row, right in front. First row, second row. So I was standing there. So these guys, the security guys, Benny Hinn security guys, tall like this, like 6'5". Eh? And thick. You know these people who the neck covers the head? Like, there is no depression between the neck and the head. Like, they are full. Eh? They are putting on tight t-shirts, which are like this. Eh? With their biceps like this. Eh? And, you know, sharp, tight t-shirts like this. And they were there in shades. And like that thing which comes from inside and goes into the ear, you know. Eh? So they are there. So I looked at the guy. who is after those heads. Eh? I said, "But man, these guys. Eh? Like, it looks like he can eat how many kilos of food?" So we were worshipping. Then sings my soul. What? Then a lady came from behind the man. Then she came and rolled in front. two guys, got hold of her, one the other side, the one this side. Then carried her and took, I was seeing, they took her to the very back. And then they did. They reeled through her. I'm telling you, they reeled through her like that. Then I was like, "Man, these guys." The next minute, the guys were next to me worshiping again.
I said, these guys are not a joke. That was the last. If they had encouraged her, we are not going to hear a word. That man was going. But after that, everybody said, ah. The Holy Spirit stopped moving in that way. And now you have to be very serious. Because, and now also he copied it from what? He's Catherine Kuhlman. When she sings the worship, she's the worship, and people worship, and the whole place is so soaked in worship. Then she says, quiet, everyone quiet. Now if you want trouble, because the guys would be there, the order is quiet. Do you know that can actually mess up the whole meeting? Because she knew how she used to do her things. Because she would tell people to be quiet for 15 minutes. 15 minutes. And nobody is saying anything. That lady. And the only sound is the keyboard. A very small, soft sound. And then she keeps quiet. People stand there for 15 minutes, not a single word. Then afterwards you say, he's come. He has come. And people start running out of wheelchairs and what. Now one person can mess all that thing up. When she would say, he has come. The miracles that would come after that. Eh? Like they would just start popping from everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Now, if people knew that attention is a very important thing. Like when a word is being spoken, that is going to, you have to pay attention. Don't let anything distract you. Be there. Let every word enter you. And now let me tell you, there's a way you can even prepare yourself for that. There's a way you can prepare yourself for that. There's a way you can prepare yourself to receive a word that you don't even have to listen to that message again. Now, because the only place I feed is Zoe, all through the day I'm preparing myself to receive. Now, how do I know that I have connected? When every song that prophet starts, I start it before him. You see, eh? So when he finishes singing the entry song, I can just say, down at your, in my spirit, down at your feet, or then the next thing he says, down at your feet, or then I know we've connected. Now that someone, I don't have to listen to it again. Because we have connected, it is coming straight from there to here. Because I start spotting songs he's going to do. Sometimes all of them, sometimes two out of three, sometimes, you know, eh? But at least I try to make sure that I'm in. Then now, when the word is being spoken, attention. It is so easy for that word to be stolen away from you, by the way. Very easy to be stolen. But yet, actually, if you connect like that, you don't even have to, you might not need to listen to it again because it has already started working inside you. You see, eh? What Jesus said that the words that I speak to you, eh? A spirit and life. You see this scripture, look for, Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet, come out of him. Because he knows, imagine he's there speaking words of life. And then a demon decides to mess up somebody. And now everybody turns and looks at the demon. Hey, hey, and now the word's lost. And by the way, even if you had listened to a certain portion, the minute you're distracted, even what you're listening to evaporates. Then afterwards, you can't have, by the way, you can have no memory whatsoever of what was said, yet you actually received 100% of it. Do you know that? Because it's not supposed to go through your memory. It's supposed to go from spirit to spirit. You understand? They can even ask you, what did they preach about? And you've forgotten. But it's actually deposited inside there. It's already beginning to work. Okay? But you think because it's not in your mind, because you are not, you didn't receive, you actually might have received better than if you had it in your mind. You know, he used this scripture, then after that he speaks, then he mentioned this, then he said this, then he said this. Praise the Lord. Now the words, those words are spirit and they are life. Eh? And if you actually want to maximize, you have to be careful. You have to be very, very, very attentive. Eh? Attentive in your mind, in your spirit, and completely get yourself wrapped up in words. Praise the Lord. Even these ones that I'm telling you. Amen? You get yourself wrapped up in them and you're receiving something which is more than those words, but which is communicated through those words.
He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. His word. Now, when people try to make it look like the word that is spoken is of somehow some, you know, if you like, they you really, really miss out on a lot. And you'll wonder why you'll not be flying high like other people. Because once it enters you the way I've told you, it is already working. Just give yourself a short time. It's transforming you from within. You understand? That's why Jesus said, he told his disciples, you're already clean because of the words that I've spoken to you. You understand? Because they are still thinking, he said, no, you've walked with me, you've been listening to my word, you're already clean. Because of what? Because of words. So they have already been transformed into his image just by listening to him. They look scared, they look threatened, they look confused, they don't know what is happening, they don't know why he's going to die, he should leave, and so on. But inwardly, something powerful has been deposited already. So that when the time for that thing comes out, you look at them and you can't recognize them. You look at Peter, who was so fearful, who was running, doing what? And then you look at him and he's a totally different man. And the words Jesus deposited there, he's already clean. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now think about that. You're clean because of a word which has been spoken. Praise the Lord. Amen.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.